we're about to go into our interview with Anastasiadis, who has a background in public policy, government relations, and the not-for-profit sector. Her parents have long run a Greek restaurant in Abbotsford, where she lives and works. Before starting with the Abbotsford Chamber of Commerce, she was an advisor of strategic partnerships for Covenant House Vancouver and the Vancouver International Maritime Center. We interviewed her to talk about the Fraser Valley's unique needs and struggles, as well as how its economy can recover from the COVID-19 pandemic. Here's our conversation.
My very first question is, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the Chamber of Commerce on a day-by-day basis?
That's a really good question. I think our immediate focus when the pandemic hit was first and foremost the safety of staff, and then obviously being there for our members. But obviously ourselves having to look at ourselves as an organization and seeing how we responded to the pandemic from an operational perspective. So of course, like many other organizations, we had to figure out new ways of connecting and communicating with our members and with the business community. So figuring out the whole virtual world, hybrid models and events, and figuring out how we can adjust to the changing landscape that was happening. It was a moving target, especially the first few months. And just really having to look at our own internal resources as well and make the adjustments till the end of 2020.
Okay, and how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected local businesses' bottom lines?
Yeah, so it's definitely, we talk to our members regularly. We connect with them, and there were several stories that we were hearing about. Businesses, all different sizes, but in particular, the small, medium sized businesses, family operations or sole proprietors that were really hit hard. And as you know, the benefits that were rolled out initially were more targeted to individuals versus businesses. And so they were really just trying to hold on before having to close their operations to see if there is any support. And we depending on the sector, of course, different members were impacted differently. One story was, one company, a business losing thousands of dollars a month and just really worrying. I mean, they just poured in a lot of money towards renovations and investment into growing their business. And then the pandemic hit and they were in the personal services sector and were really just panicking and not sure what was going to happen. So, whenever I've talked to people about this, these are people's lives that they have worked, their futures that were at risk, that they've worked so hard to build. And I think it was a real eye opener for everybody and businesses in the community just to see how quickly the environment can change. Obviously, these are unprecedented times, but it was a real eye-opener, I think, for them.
Yeah. How has these restrictions that governments have put on, even though they are important for health perspective, how have they hurt some businesses' bottom line?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the Chamber, along with Tourism Abbotsford, wrote a letter to all levels of government about the tourism industry, and in Abbotsford in particular, which is very events driven. So TradeX, our air show, even the agritourism that takes place here, right? So definitely tourism, big hit. And it has definitely affected their bottom line. I mean, even the certain restrictions, different types of businesses can work with, whereas others just virtually cannot. The restaurant industry, for example, is barely getting by, being able to operate with the 50% capacity that they have. Again, back to the Chamber, we've also had to modify our events business. So we're really tailoring it to the 50 people or less. And the public is, despite the measures that a business puts in with the personal protection equipment, with the you know, plastic barriers. Everything can be up to code and beyond code. The public is still very apprehensive to get out and to even visit businesses sometimes. So it's the psychology of all of this as well, in addition to the actual real or perceived risks that are out there that are affecting the bottom line of virtually every, you know, every business, again, with different sectors, more or less.
Yeah. You touched on government aid for businesses. What do you think they have done in regard to the business community?
You know, from my experience talking to members, the two biggest supports were the wage subsidy that the government rolled out. At first, it was only 10%, which was not really helpful for them. But as the government increased it to 75% and then now has moved to a more tiered model, as we're in the restart phase of this pandemic, that was particularly effective. And then the emergency business loan. I mean, businesses don't want to have debt solutions, but it was a loan that was available for almost 2 years, I believe, before it had to be paid back. And so those were the two biggest helps. I think that the business community appreciated the attempt to create a rent relief solution. What that really, you know, got bottlenecked with was the fact that landlords still had to pay 25% of the rent. And so really dependent on the voluntary participation of the landlords. Overall, I would say slow start. I think we got to a better place, but I think moving forward, what would really help the business community is really making sure to be very careful about that balance in interest between, you know, health of individuals medically and the health of the economy, because we really need both in order to be able to move forward sustainably and safely.
Katarina, I'm a little bit curious about the specifics of Abbotsford, which I'm sure you know very well. Can you tell me about how business owners in Abbotsford have been specifically impacted by the events of 2020?
Yeah, so I mean, that really involves looking at sort of our sectoral profile, if you will. So we have a, you know, strong agriculture sector. You know, thankfully, from the feedback that I've heard, the agricultural sector wasn't as hard hit as others. However, tourism, like we talked about before, is an area that I know the city has been really focused on, and that has suffered. I think that the aerospace industry, I mean, Cascade just had two really high profile contracts come in. But of course, with the airport likely has also been quite impacted with less, you know, airplane traffic coming through. Our events-based businesses like, you know, the TradeX and the trade show that comes out of the Abbotsford Air Show, and that's a big attraction. So I think in a nutshell, it's our geography and what we're able to do within those parameters. We have our sports and entertainment center. So the Abbotsford Center, which was a great development that, you know, was offering a lot of entertainment venue space. And so, of course, with such large gatherings, that has taken a hit. Our Fraser Valley Bandits were also another big draw. And of course, you know, had to suspend their season. So it seems as if a lot of the areas where we were attracting tourists had to be shut down. We actually did publish a recent news release, which should be on our website, around what the Chamber Network wins were with the government's economic recovery plan. And one of them were things like PST rebates on machinery. Also, there was a small and medium-sized business labor program where the government was providing incentive to small and medium-sized businesses that are able to bring back their workers. I believe it was a 15% subsidy or a credit of some type. I don't have the details in front of me now, unfortunately. But so there were some wins. Now, with that labor-oriented program, the key is, though, is that small and medium-sized businesses need to be able to be in a position to bring them back. So a 15% incentive is not necessarily going to be the game changer. And so the predecessor to that has to be a competitive business environment, which involves competitive tax regime, which involves, the province attracting investment in key sectors in order to grow those sectors, and an environment where basically it's a viable option to be bringing back the workers. So also on the side of incentivizing workers to return back. So on both sides. And ourselves, actually, we as a chamber got together with the Downtown Business Association. We created the Abbotsford Business Community Coalition. One of the things we did was, and especially at the beginning of the pandemic, to create some more relief, immediate relief for our local small businesses while they were waiting for the federal government money and the provincial government to figure out what they were going to do for business. We wanted to quickly pull together an emergency grant and a non-debt accumulating solution for them. So we also did local emergency business grants to small businesses from the fundraising that we were able to do as a coalition. So we absolutely see the value in something like that. But, you know, from a, as a government, there's, it's something that you can do, but there's only so much relief that you can give by just giving out money, taxpayer money, and further putting the economy into debt. And so while that is a positive step, it's a short-term solution. And so the longer-term solution, as I've been saying, is creating that competitive growth business environment. So there was that small, medium, and business size recovery grant that we felt was a win. I had mentioned the 100% PST rebate to buy machinery equipment. So there was a list that the provincial government has provided with that. And then the other tax incentive on the labor side I was talking about was the 15% tax credit to encourage companies to hire more workers and bring back the workers that they had to let go of.
As you know, COVID came out of the blue. So all the governments kind of did not have a choice but to give out the money to the people to help them survive.
Yes.
When do you think enough is enough? Like from a business perspective, do you think there will be a time that too much debt is a burden to the society?
Yeah, and so that's a really interesting question to unpack a little bit. And, you know, my thinking is absolutely, you know, in times of crisis, times of economic recession, governments have had to invest stimulus funding. They've had to ensure that the public's, economically viable in these crisis type situations, which has been unprecedented. The question is, though, for some governments, have they used this as also an excuse for potentially having overspent prior to COVID? Like, what position were both the federal and the provincial government in prior to COVID? And, you know, would they arguably been in a better position had it not been for spending decisions prior? So we know what the total debt is now because of COVID, but I'd be interested to know what was the situation, say, quarter one, March of 2020, prior to COVID. So in my mind, that's something that I'm going to want to look into just out of curiosity. Secondly, the question is not only about, you know, debt accumulation and having to make emergency decisions for stimulus spending or to prop up your economy and you know, the health and safety of your population, but it's how targeted are these initiatives. So that's another area that potentially could have been done better. I think we've all heard stories about how with COVID, there were, you know, instances where maybe some who the relief was not intended for ended up getting that. And so to the broader point, you know, how this ties back to small business and local businesses, the overall health of our economy nationally and provincially, the amount of debt that we accumulate absolutely impacts individual citizens and businesses, because the money needs to be generated somehow. And governments have a very small amount of a few options that they can go to, one of which is increasing taxes. If you're not creating the investment and competitive environment for the growth, taxes are another area where you get that revenue to then counter that spending that needed to take place. So I think some refinement in the government's approach around this area would better serve the interests of the business community.
We have about 5 minutes left, I think, for what we had slotted for this interview. So I will ask you if there's anything that is on your plate right now that's a priority you'd like to share.
Yeah, well, as a chamber, we're always wanting to make sure that we're connecting with our members, with the business community locally here. So that's absolutely a focus that we've had from the beginning and of the pandemic. We want to make sure that we're here side by side with businesses as they are going through this unprecedented time, to help them however we can. We advocate on their behalf with all levels of government through our BC Chamber Network, our Canadian Chamber Network, to make sure that their voice is being heard, that government understands and is educated about what can make their operational circumstances thrive. We want to make sure that we are providing them the relief, the tangible benefits that we have to serve them, and opportunities to build connections. So our key focus is going to be our you know, persevering together, being there to support the business community, and making sure we keep that dialogue and that communication open with them so that we can serve them the best. That's really what our focus is going to continue to be. And 2020 is, you know, it's also going to be a challenging year. We are seeing, and rightly so, both governments looking to move beyond the level of spending that has been done to date. And so that means that some of the supports are going to be, you know, phasing away as they've already have been. And so it's going to be a delicate transition back as that, it's been called, quote unquote, false economy is no longer there with that bubble. So it's going to be more important than ever in 2021 to make sure that businesses have our support and that we all continue to support them.
Okay, wonderful. And again, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.